On the go, take News Talk 1010 Toronto with you. Download, listen, and learn through the iHeartRadio app. Now back to Jerry Agar.
Good to have you along. Here's an article from the CBC. Is virtual reality the future? Apple's betting on it, but virtual reality experts say we may not be there yet. Apple Vision Pro headset is the latest big bet. $5,000. I don't know much about virtual reality. I've done some of it. It was enough fun every time I did it, but it didn't run out to buy the equipment. That doesn't mean anything. It just means I'm not the big customer for it. But on Monday, Apple unveiled a new product that's either revolutionary or very expensive hype, depending on whether you read the company's description of the Vision Pro or media reviews of its unveiling. What does Apple think makes this thing worth $5,000, and why would you want to get it if that's the case? Joining me on this, an associate professor of the Institute of Communication, Culture, Information, and Technology, the University of Toronto, Bree McEwen. Bree McEwen, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so the virtual reality I've done is just, you know, a few of the games and one of those things where you can walk through an apartment or something like that. So I'm not that conversant with it. Like, is this a big whoop-de-doo, this new thing?
Yes. So even though the price point is very expensive, and this is probably not a consumer product like a television that's going to be in every home, there is something fairly exciting about Apple's announcements, and it's that they've combined a virtual reality headset with an AR device. And so it represents another step in the sophistication of the technology and what you'll be able to do with it in the future, and sort of your ability to experience mixed reality.
Forbes magazine calls it comically overpriced.
Well, I think if you're thinking of it as a competitor to the Quest 2 or maybe the Pico headset, then yes, right? Those headsets come in at about $600 Canadian, give or take. And that is more in line with a gaming console, right, which is something that consumers are willing to spend money on and have in their household. But I think that the point of the Apple headset, and there's a reason they've called it the Pro, right, is that it's for designers, it's for developers to get their hands on. It's maybe a little bit more of an enterprise model where businesses might buy a few to have around for various spatial computing applications. And so I don't expect them to sell, you know, headsets to every home in the world the way we might think of a smartphone today. But I do expect them to have a decent market that will pick up these headsets that might allow them to offer a device in the future that is at a lower price point.
I didn't realize there was a pro use for virtual reality. I thought it was, and these glasses, I thought it was just a toy.
Ah, so that's actually really interesting because a lot of people think of VR for gaming or maybe, you know, the social experiences like the walking through the apartment if there were other people there. And so they think of it in line with their, you know, other communication channels, right? Their computer, their smartphone, their gaming console. But some of the bigger applications for development in VR and AR has been in manufacturing. There's several companies that have products out that are enterprise models only. And they don't sell to a general consumer market. They use them to help them figure out manufacturing processes, to do training, if you've got a $1 million machine, maybe you don't want to tear it apart every single time, right? You want to train somebody on working on it. So if you put them in VR, it actually could be less expensive to develop a VR headset and a VR application to train people to do those kinds of things than it is to let them mess around with a $1 million or multi-million dollar manufacturing device.
Am I right to, because what popped into my head was some kind of version like a flight simulator?
Yep, flight simulators are also popular VR devices as well. There's different applications out there. Another place that we are seeing some pickup is in healthcare, because if you think about teaching people about anatomy, it's actually cheaper to have them, even on a very expensive device, it's cheaper to have them practice anatomy on a digital avatar than digging into a human.
I don't know. I don't know, Bree. My daughter told me that there was nothing more educational than cutting up a corpse. She said it turns out it doesn't look exactly like the diagram in the book.
I'm sure it doesn't, but I think if you could do it, 17, 20, 30 times on the digital version and then once on the cadaver, that will save medical schools a lot of money.
I could see where you go from the page to then the virtual reality and then finally the cadaver, and then we'll let you cut a live person open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Bree McEwen is with me, an associate professor at the Institute of Communications, Culture, Information, and Technology at the University of Toronto. It seems to me, and I'm sure you can tell I'm totally ignorant on all this, which is why we have you here, it seems to me maybe that what happens from time to time is something that started out as a toy. People go, wait a minute, there's a better use for this, or at least another use for it.
Yeah, and interestingly, VR didn't start out as a toy. Computer vision research has been going on since the 70s, the 60s. And so it started off as this idea of having, more business applications, computer science applications. But then games are a big business, right? And so I think Meta made an interesting call to build a consumer-grade device, sell it more as a gaming platform, and start getting people used to the technology via different kinds of games and applications that they run in their Quest store.
Is there a dating use for this, a dating app use for this? Like you could feel like what it would be like to hang out with that person and you go, actually, this isn't working.
That's a really interesting question. And that is the kind of question that we take up in my lab, but we don't have a specific dating study at this time. But what we're interested in terms of how people interact socially is, what does it mean and how does it change the communication process if you're communicating with an avatar instead of communicating with someone face to face? Now, I have done a lot of work in, I have a paper on Tinder and I have work on social media. And so I know from that work that there are changes to those communication processes, but people are very, very able to engage in interpersonal communication via different channels. In this case, you're going to have a lot of cues from voice. And you're going to be able to do a lot of the things that are important to early relationships, like disclosure. You could even engage in, watching a movie or something together. We're working on a study right now where we're having people come in and watch a short film clip in VR. So you could engage in shared activities. But we might still see some of the differences we see in online dating if we're not actually getting a sense of the person physically. Because, of course, physical interaction is important to romantic relationships over time.
But even if it isn't romantic relationships, pretty much every Sunday morning for an hour and a half, I get together for like a coffee with some people on a Zoom call. It started because of the pandemic, and then we're all in different places and everything, and it's convenient and such. But I was just thinking, if I was instead of the Zoom call, I was in the glasses, and the one person starts to talk, and I turn, and I sort of see them there, and I turn to the other person, it could seem a little more real even than a Zoom call.
Yeah, and actually we call that, it's a phenomenon called social presence. And so we can have social presence in a lot of different communication channels, even texting. But the more you start to get, nonverbal cues that have some fidelity to what the person is doing in their actual body, often we feel more present. And then that can lead to a lot of, interesting outcomes in terms of feeling like that's a higher quality interaction, that you're really there with your friend. And so, we've seen the concept video where you're looking at, sort of Zoom squares, but now in the world. But there's also the idea of being in VR spaces with an embodied avatar and feeling like you can see that person, you're near them, you can walk around them. And so we don't have a lot of people engaging in that kind of interaction.
I'm not in the virtual reality, but the actual reality of the clock. So,
sorry, I can talk about this forever.
That's okay. Maybe we'll talk again. Bree McEwen from the University of Toronto. Thanks very much.
Sure.